Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Where could I go but to the Lord?
Amen.
Before I get started this morning, I just want to make one quick announcement. Sister Sharon Williams has completed her surgery. Although they are finding, she said that they have said to her that she may have to have another one. But she is doing well, and she wanted to thank everybody and ask that you continue to pray for her as she recuperates in the hospital in Northwestern. So with that said, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, it is true what has been said that you are the greatest and you are the best and you are the only Lord that we shall ever need to know. And for this, Father, we are eternally grateful. You have brought us from the beginning of our lives up to the point that we're at now, and we thank you so very much, O Lord. We come praying this morning because you have lengthened out our life string, and have given us this opportunity. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that we can stand on this side of heaven and still raise our voice in prayer and praises unto you, O Lord. Thank you this morning for the church here on Stony Island. Thank you for the members herein. Thank you for the leadership herein. Thank you for their families. Thank you for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far this morning. And we pray for their families as well. Thanking you for those who are here with us this morning. And we are still praying for those who may be sick and not able to be with us. We pray this morning that if it be your will, that you would grant them healing, that they may be able to come back with us once again. We pray this morning, O Heavenly Father, for those who may be traveling, those who may still be on their way, that if it be your will, you would grant them the space and the time that they may be able to get here, O Lord. And we pray for the safety of all, Heavenly Father. Then, my Heavenly Father, we thank you because of the gift that you have given us. And this is a gift-giving season, and you have been giving us the greatest gift of all. We thank you this morning, Father, and we pray this morning as we continue with these services that you would be with us, watch over and keep us, and that we may be found favorable and acceptable in thy sight. These and all other blessings we do ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, we all say amen.
Amen.
From the third chapter of the book of Ephesians in verses number 20 and verse number 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This morning we're going to speak for a few minutes from a subject called God is Still Able. And contrary to what you may have heard, God is alive and well, and God is still able. This is the time of the year when Christians as well as the world run into difficulties due to pressure from those who for some reason think that this is the only time we need to pause with God. Christians know that God is alive, well, and still able to speak to us through His Word. When the season brings us to our wit's end, when it seems as though we can go no further, just remember the text for today, where we can find inspiration in the comfort of knowing that our God is still able to give all that we ask or all that we think. The abilities that God has in His possession were enough to create this world and everything in it. Most certainly, He can deal with whatever issues we may have in our lives today. He has dealt with mankind from the beginning of time, and He's still able to deal with us today. Every so often, I have to remind myself, I don't know if you do, but every so often I have to remind myself that even though the world runs at a sometimes too fast pace, we have to take a step back and remember that God is still working on us. He does not take breaks. He does not celebrate holidays. He does not observe customs of certain seasons of the year. He is there always. So let us remember that God is still able. What is God able to do? Well, God is still able to answer our prayers. Prayer is or should be the top priority in a Christian's life. For without prayer, where would we be today? Praying is the only means we have to let God know that we praise His name, to let Him know that we serve Him and that we try to be obedient to Him. We have no other way to let it be known to God what we are asking of Him or what we feel of Him unless we go to Him in prayer. We can't write God a letter. We can't send Him in a telegram. We can simply go to God in prayer. So when you look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, look what the Bible says. It says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." That means that God is qualified to do whatever it is we ask or whatever it is that we think. There is no limit to God's abilities. There is no need for us to take a trip through the Word. There's no need for us to do anything but to take a trip through the Word of God, and we will find many examples of what God is able to do and that He is able to do what we ask of Him. Do you remember in Joshua chapter 10 where the children of Israel were in battle? And Joshua spoke to God, and in the sight of the Israelites, he told the sun to stand still. He told the sun, he said, and the sun stood still, but also the moon stood still because he spoke to God. In verse number 13 of that same chapter, he spoke to the moon and requested the moon stop and stay still as well. That's because Joshua spoke these things to God. Another example of the power of what praying can do. You all know this story. This is one of my favorite ones in the Old Testament. In Daniel chapter 6, where Daniel prayed three times a day. Every day Daniel would pray three times and give thanks to God. And I'm sure most of you know the story. But because some folk got jealous and wanted Daniel out of the picture, they persuaded King Darius to sign a decree that prohibited anyone from praying to anyone else other than the king himself. But Daniel knew who his father was, and he knew that he had to pray to God. He had prayed to God before this decree and was still willing to pray to God even after this decree. So Daniel was brought before the king, who had him thrown into the lion's den. But this is what I like right here, church. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, Daniel knew that his God had the power and that his God could deliver him, even the power over even the wild beast. And God dispatched an angel and caused the lion's mouth to be shut up so that he did not cause any manner of hurt upon Daniel. Isn't that right, church? It didn't cause Daniel any scars, scratches, or any such thing. The lion refused to eat because God had shut his mouth. So God, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask, according to him the power that worketh in us. And I know that there are some who may say, "Well, I've been sick, preacher, for a long time. I've had troubles for a long time, and I've been praying, and yet I'm still sick and I'm still troubled. Does God not know about me?" Well, God knows about all of us. The simple answer is yes, God knows about you, because He knows about every one of us here this morning. But when you pray, you must remember, you must have faith in who you're praying to, and in faith that He will answer your prayer. We must be committed to Him, to whom we're praying for. And we must learn to accept the fact that God is not always going to cure us because we're sick. All of us, all of the time, are not going to be cured. Some of us are going to be sick, and some of us are going to stay sick. Some of us are never going to get well until we leave this world. But that's part of what our faith in the Lord is that we ask Him just the same, because we don't know the mind of God like God knows His own mind. So we have to continue to pray. God may not grant you a relief from your pain and your suffering and your sorrow, but I'll tell you what He will do for you. He can give you comfort that you will be able to bear whatever it is that bothers you. So when you think about it, if God doesn't cure me today, I guess I'll just stop praying. That's the attitude of some folk. If God doesn't cure me by tomorrow, then I'm just going to give up. But you never give up praying to God. You never give up because you remember what the text says. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We've got to ask. We've got to concern ourselves and say that God can do this or God can do that. If God has gotten you up this morning, you ought to realize that if you said your prayers on last night before you went to bed, he answered your prayers. And if you didn't pray, he still answered you even though you didn't ask him. He got you up this morning. God is still able to answer those prayers, and God is still also able to save sinners. Many folk today are under the misguided notion that there are some of us, some people, as people that are so evil that we don't deserve to be saved or that they don't deserve to be saved. That's our attitude with some of us. Some of them say, well, they're not even worth saving. They need to get whatever is coming to them. They're so evil that God should not even look down upon them. But go with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25, where the Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. Well, what are you saying, preacher? What I'm simply saying is, if you go to God, if you come to God, God is able to save us. Even the person that we don't care for, God still loves them and he wants them all to be saved. Do you remember in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 45 where God said, look unto me and be saved, all of the ends of the earth. I am God, and there is none other. God is the only one like him. There is no other, and there is no such thing as a generic God. God is the original God. He is the one and only God. He is the one that we look for. God is not only able and willing to save sinners, but in Luke chapter 15, around about verse number 7, Jesus said there should be joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. When we look at the work of how that God was able to turn one Saul of Tarsus, who according to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 15, by his own admission, was the chief of sinners. But by Jesus being willing to die for us, he became able, through his cross, to save sinners. Do you remember what I just read to you in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25? It shows how that God is able to save those who would simply come to him and save them to the uttermost. How does Christ do this? Well, through his intercessions for us, as the text said. That means that Jesus stands between man and God. Jesus put himself between man and God. And with these intercessions, Jesus can speak to God on our behalf. And he wants all men to come to repentance and to be saved, to live eternally with God. In Romans chapter 8, in the verses number 39, it concludes by letting us know that nothing, note that word, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing at all shall be able to separate us from the love of God. God is able to save us to the uttermost. He is able to save us completely if we live right. Now, when you go back to the text, church, in verse number 21, the Bible says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God is still able to allow grace to abound to us. Sometimes life has so much going on around us, and it sometimes brings sorrows, pains, and problems. And they come in the form of maybe you lost your job. Maybe there are financial troubles or even family issues. Whatever may come, God is able to see us through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having your sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. This text, this verse shows how that God is able to enrich us, how that God is able to straight bring us up, that we may let others know of God's blessings toward us. The text speaks of all grace. That means spiritual blessings as well as material blessings. That means that God can give us whatever He wants us to have. He can give us all things, if you will. Though here in that text of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, I believe it's speaking of money. It's kind of speaking of giving back what you have gained in your life. It kind of speaks of giving back to the church. And I know at this time of the year when people are, for the most part, in a giving mood, make sure you have God on your giving list. Make sure that you are willing to part with some of what you have or some of what He has given you that you give back to Him. God is the greatest giver of all. We need to make sure that we are giving back to Him as well as to others. For without His grace, we could not have gotten here today. Do you remember the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 6 and around about verse number 38? It says, give. Note that first word. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For the same measure you use, it shall be measured to you. In other words, if you give a little, you're going to get a little. But if you give a lot, you might get a lot. Isn't that what the Bible is talking about, church? Give a little and you'll get a little. Without His grace, our lives would not be what they are today. Notice in chapter 2 Corinthians verse number 15 of chapter 9, the Bible says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Whether you celebrate this season of the year or not, whether you live in the times of this season of the year or not, thank you to God is always in order for us as Christians. For we serve a God who was yesterday, today, and tomorrow still able to grant unto us. Watch it again in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You've got to understand, if you can think it, God can give it. If you can ask for it, God can give it. He still is able to do all of those things. Remember who was and who is the greatest gift giver of all. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Throughout the Word of God, there are many examples of ruined lives caused by sin and Satan. But God is able to save all from that kind of life. He is still able to be our bridge over troubled waters. He is still able to pick us up when life around us seems to be falling down. He is still able to shore up a broken heart. He is still able to bring sanity to a mixed up world. And oh yes, He is still able to save us from the fire of hell. Church, I tell you something this morning. Death is certain. Hell is hot. And eternity is long. So you may as well get prepared, because God is ready, but are you ready? When you ask yourself the question about what the text says in verse 20 there. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, without end. Amen. When I think about that, when I think about verse number 20 as well, and when I think about all that God has done for us, how can we forget about God? And I've read somewhere some words or not too long ago where they were discussing how many people know God. And it had some figures in there that would utterly frighten a lot of us. Because there are many folk who don't know God. or at least they claim not to know God. They claim that there is a higher power or a higher being, but they don't want to call Him God. They claim that there must be something in this universe that keeps this universe going, but they don't want to call Him by the name of God. They claim that there is another power that's a power over us, but they don't want to call Him God. But by the text in verse number 20 says, unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And when I go back up and look at verse 19, the Bible says, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I tell you something, church. It's a good thing to know God. It's a great thing to know God. It's a wonderful thing to know God and to understand where your roots are, where your roots brought you from. Without God, there is a no us. Without God, there would not be a church of Christ. Without God, there would be no existence for us. But I go back all the way back and look in the beginning of the Bible where the Bible said God created man. And then He created woman. Then I look and see just how it all started to change back in Genesis there. How that Adam and Eve broke the law of what God had told them not to do. And Satan came along and said, it's okay. And he's still doing that same thing today. He's still saying it's okay to defy God. It's okay to defy the Word of God. It's okay if God didn't really mean what He said. And some of us buy into that. Some of us have bought into it so that we have forgotten what that text, what I just read to you said. It says that God is able. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What's in your mind? What do you think in your mind? What do you think in your mind? Do you think there's anything that God can't do today? I know there's nothing that God can't do. If God can take a simple bit of dirt and make mankind. If God can create out of nothing something, I know that God is able to do any, every, and all things for any and everyone that asks. But when you look at the matter further, and you ask yourself the question from time to time, you ask yourself the question, you ask, is God real? And I'll answer to you this morning that yes, God is real. There is no realer someone in this world than God. Because I don't think there are... just look at His handiwork, the Bible says. I see your handiwork. I don't think there's a ladder tall enough to reach the sky. And so someone, and I know it was God, had to put the stars in the sky. He had to pace the moon so that it moves from one direction into the other. He had to put the sun up there so that it shines upon His command. But yet, there are those who question the validity of God. Now, I was one of those people at one time in my life that kind of, I didn't question the validity of God, but I guess I didn't believe it. I guess I have to say that because I wasn't following it. But I learned, when I learned better, I tried to do better. And you ought to do the same. Because He is able. He is able. Ask somebody who's been on their sickbed for a long time and now they're up walking around. Ask somebody who was in deep troubles and now their troubles are nowhere around them. Ask somebody who was about to lose their job, but instead of losing their job, they got a promotion on their job. Just ask somebody. Ask somebody that whatever I was thinking, God was able to answer. And then they'll tell you that God is real. I know that God is real because when I went to bed last night, it was dark. When I woke up this morning, it was light. And I didn't turn the switch on. When I went to bed last night, I didn't know if I was going to get up this morning. But I was raised up this morning. God did it. I didn't do it. And when I think even further than that, when I got up this morning, I was a little hungry. Probably didn't need anything, but I was hungry. So God gave me food to prepare in my kitchen to prepare that I may eat and fill my stomach again. God is able. Anything that we can think or ask, God is able to do it for us, church. But all you first thing you must do is ask Him. And when it comes to praying, a Christian should never be without a prayer in his mind or her mind. Anything that you want in your mind to ask of God, God hears prayer. Now, if you'll answer, that's another subject. But He is capable of answering prayer. He is capable of giving you everything that you need. And I'm one of those people that believe that. And I know that's a fact. When you think about it, church, what is it that you want to ask of God? What is it that you have in your mind that you think that you want God to do for you? Just ask Him. Just ask Him. And He may do it for you. He certainly is able to do it for you. So then, how, preacher, can I harness the power of having God hear my prayer and having God to possibly answer my prayer? Well, you need to be connected with Him. You hear people talking all the time, are you connected to the internet? You'll connect to the internet, but you won't connect to God. And there are those who believe more in that than they do in God. They can't see the internet, see the power coming. They can see the results of it. But they can see the power of God every time you open your eyes. But yet they won't connect with God. But I believe in God, and you ought to believe in Him too. And I believe that's why most of you are here today, because you do believe in God. You do trust and know that God is real. And you do understand that God is able. Are you? So you get this connection with God going. You get this relationship with God going. And I speak of relationships with God all the time, and sometimes you need to hear me and make sure you know what I'm talking about when I talk about a relationship with God. How do I get this relationship with God? Well, then you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But first thing you must do, you must learn to know, you must ask somebody if you don't know, somebody that can teach you about what the power of the Lord it really is. You have to learn, you have to be taught. You don't just march up here and say, I want to have a connection with the Lord, unless you know what you're connecting to, or what you're connecting about, I should say. But then somewhere down the line, if you've already connected, you already had your relationship with God, and some way your relationship became broken. How do I fix a broken relationship with God? Well, you ask God, you go to God, first of all, and you ask Him to forgive you of whatever it is that caused your relationship to be broken. And then once you ask Him to help you to mend that relationship, then you obey His will and His word. Come back to church. Ask the church to pray for you. And once you ask the church to pray for you, ask them to pray with you, I should say. You should pray for yourself. First, ask the church to pray for you, with you, that you may gain a closer relationship to the Lord. If you have this desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil or victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is